Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart. Excuse me, I'm drinking already. No surprise.
Good grief. It's going to be one of those shows already. The Hot Rod is drinking.
Oh, you know it. I got to drink something. Come on. I forgot it was a four-day weekend, you know, for me. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Willibos, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
Sean Black in the building, once again, for the 151st time.
Oh, damn, been that long?
Yeah, well, remember, last week was our big 150th episode, so. We got to toot our own horn at some point.
Oh, okay. Well, we're doing a lot better than Fergie that sang the national anthem last night at the NBA All-Star. Oh, my gosh. We got people tweeting and joking around that Fergie sang the national anthem so bad that Colin Kaepernick stood up and told her not to disrespect the anthem like that. I'm like, damn. Damn.
That's probably the most brutal response I've heard, but it fits because it was, the beginning
you know
of it was okay. It just got worse as it got along. Oh, boy.
It's like she's trying to hit those high notes of the anthem and like, okay, what are you doing? You know.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, as always, the incident wasn't so kind to Fergie and the singing. Oh, well.
Don't know. Definitely not.
Mm.
And rightfully so in some degree.
Of course. But, you know, whatever. But, guys, you know the number to call for comments, questions, or thoughts. The number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Oh, sugar, I need to stop drinking.
Yeah.
347-989-8402. Sean Black, for the 151st time, are you ready to piss some people off?
Yes. And if they aren't already pissed off, they're going to be even more pissed off by the end of the show.
Well, it's my job to piss people off by the end of the show, but besides that, okay. And Tisha, I will get to you in a minute. Thank you for calling in. But,
hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing? Nope.
Okay. This topic right here is one of those topics. When the incident happened last week, I texted Sean, and I told Sean, I do not want to talk about the mass shooting at the school. He texts me back. Okay. As time goes on, Sean, like, we have to talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those topics. I'm like, for one, Sean and I agree. Like, Sean understands why I don't want to talk about it. And Sean, and I understand Sean why he wants to talk about it. So, For the most part, as always, Sean will be doing a lot of talking, and I'll be, like, you know, watching TV while he's talking. But this year alone, we had 18 school shootings. It's not even the end of February yet. 18 shootings in the United States in school. If people don't see that as a problem, of course, the NRA does not see that as a problem, but if people in general do not see that as a problem, you're the problem. Sean, why you want to discuss about the mass school shooting and what's your intake about it, and do you see another one happen in the next couple of weeks, like another copycat?
Well, the reason why, first, a moment of brevity to tell everybody that listens to the show. We've been doing this show going on now 3 years. We've been doing this since March of 2015. And we have covered school shootings. We covered mass shootings. We covered the London shootings. We talked about that. And what we have all come to is, especially usually when it comes to Hot Rod now, when we bring up the discussion of how we're going to approach our show, when we talk about a mass shooting, both of us, as much as we want to bring a different slant to the story, it's the same story that we've had, where we're getting something going on, and then we get outraged, and then we don't get any follow-through. We've had I've gone on this airway, and we talked after shooting, and I've actually given websites to congressmen and get to people that are in government, so that people that listen to the show around the nation can call their local congressmen, et cetera, and find out what they can do legislatively to get something going as far as gun control. Nothing seems to ever happen. And as I told the Hot Rod, even though it's something that we didn't want to really get into, it's important that we have to now, because it's not just another school shooting. It's a school shooting that happened one on Valentine's Day, which means that there is an infamous date attached to this. And also because of the fact that as the days went on, the students that were victims that are here in the school said enough is enough, and it's time for something to actually be done. And the shocking thing that you brought up at the top of the show, as you said, that there's 18 school shootings or school-related incidents revolving guns. In this nation this year, there is an average of a school shooting every 50 hours. So on average, between January 1st and today, there is a school incident or a school shooting that happens once every 2 days. And even since the shooting that happened last week on Valentine's Day, there were 12 instances already. This is the reason why this is important, because these kinds of things have to be brought up. And it's not just a talking point. It's the fact that something has to be done. And if we looked at what happened with Emma Gonzalez, who was one of the people that were at the school at the time of the shooting, she made a speech, and it's going to be things like that that is going to get change to happen. And I think that that's what a lot of people want to have.
Okay. Keisha, I kind of get a sense what everybody's feeling right now for the most part, but what's your intake about this mass shooting? And do you see any changes moving forward? Or it's going to be the same thing over and over?
First of all, I'm going to go to the shooting. It's something that's very tragic. And back to like what Sean Black is saying, what can we do different about it? This has happened so many times. It doesn't seem like anyone wants to do anything about it or anyone is addressing it, due to the fact that I feel like, you know, guns bring in money in this country also. You have to think about that. And then you have your second constitutional amendment, that you have the right to bear arms. So it's kind of like, what can we do? One thing that I like about these students, how they're getting together, and they're also starting their own rallies. They're going to be going to town hall this Wednesday to address that. But something that I found interesting is Donald Trump, he got invited to their town hall, turned it down, and now he's going to do his own town hall on the same day that these students want to address certain things. So it's kind of like a slap in the face that you don't even want to hear these students who has just been through tragic loss, because some of them lost friends, teachers, and so forth. Some of them may have gotten grazed, you know, injured, and so forth. And these children, you don't want to hear what they have to say. They are a voice, because they're the ones that just went through this.
And addressing, we know the real reason why that's the case.
Yeah, we know the reason behind it. And addressing something as far as school safety, you know, school safety should be just as good as our police officers and our law enforcement as far as the structure of it. The same way that we employ law enforcement, you know, to protect our cities, we should be doing even more with the school system. It needs to be that something like this needs to be looked at. One thing that I think saved these children is the fact that they were always doing, like, the rehearsal drills and things like that. So that's something that probably, to me, saved more lives, you know, being taken.
And it's funny that you say that. I'm like, I understand we do need exercise and training and drills, but has it come to that point now, like, you go to school, technically speaking, to learn something. Now you have to worry about some kid who, technically speaking, mentally ill or distressed or depressed, to come and try to shoot you, and like that's another burden you have to carry with you right now. Like, it's bad enough we have to deal with bullying in schools. Like I said, the school system is crazy. Now we have to worry about guns.
And the reasoning behind that is because that nothing has been done by government since we remember we talked about, well, Sandy Hook, there has to be a change, and all of the other shootings, there have to be a change. There was legislation put on the table by the government after Sandy Hook. I forgot the name of what the bill was going to be called. It was supposed to add extra checks and balances to the background checks for people that have guns. And it was almost overwhelmingly voted down. This was put in Congress literally, I think it was a month or two after, no, it was the following year after Sandy Hook, and it was shot down. When you look at the fact that the overwhelming majority of this country, I believe the figure was at 93% of people, both Republican and Democrat, so it's just, this is as bipartisan as you can get, are in favor of having gun control and better background checks. If this is in favor, and this is the people talking, and the government is supposed to be governing the people, there is something fundamentally wrong, especially when we know that the only thing that anybody comes across with is the same Second Amendment that they keep putting that flag in the hill and planting it on and saying that's what it's supposed to be, that's what it's supposed to be. The Second Amendment was written in 1791. It's 2018. At some point, either a revision of the Second Amendment or some sort of extra, because this goes through court every so often, something has to be fundamentally done to at least revise some of this, because this was done at a time when people were walking around with muskets and had bayonets because they were afraid of being overtaken by the government. Quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the whole premise of the Second Amendment. There's no government that I'm aware of that's going to go to your house and take your guns because of some sort of overthrowing. This was done because the British, who had just colonized in the United States, the people were doing an uprising to become free from the British. That's where all of this is coming from. That does not apply to this time in the day and age anymore. So at some point, that has to be looked at. But baby steps. And as Tisha said, that even President Trump is actually thinking about something as far as not necessarily gun control, but better background checks. What else can they do right now? The country is outraged, and this is not going anywhere anytime soon.
And what else can they do about schools? Because teachers are there to teach. They're not there to be police officers and teach and try to rescue students and things like this. This young man, Nicholas Cruz, to me, this was premeditated. He knew what he was going to do. Don't give me the fact that you're depressed because, you know, rest in peace, his mom died and so forth. We all went through certain things growing up, whether your parents died or your parents separated. Sure, you're depressed and things like that. That's regular emotions, but I'm not going to go shoot up a school due to the fact of this. This young man should have gotten counseling or had mentors, or who were the people that he was staying with. I saw them on CBS Good Morning this morning talking that they didn't see something like this happening. But how did you guys, when you took him in, address the fact to him, you know, your mom has just passed, and try to help him through that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up about the teachers and classes, because Brother B's show last night, right here on Block Talk Radio called The Menu, I mentioned that why does teachers need to be armed? Don't most teachers have enough on their plate already? Don't they have
exactly.
to worry about, like, the kids themselves being bullied? And, you know, bad news that kids are being disrespectful to teachers. They have to worry about,
mm-hmm.
you know, the schoolwork themselves and for them to carry a weapon now. And let's say, God forbid, Sean Black, a teacher go haywire and decide to shoot the kids herself or himself, you know. So there could be more questions about that. Or now, why do teachers have a gun? It's like, there's so many questions. And like Sean brought this to me earlier last week. We all know the solution to this problem, but no one wants to act on it. And I think that's the problem overall.
Yeah, that's
once
the
again,
part that hurts
why
the
does,
most.
Yes, like once again, if you go back to Orlando, Las Vegas, San Bernardino, I think the name of the area.
Yeah, San Bernardino.
San Bernardino, thank you. Sandy Hook, what do they all have in common? AR-15s. Why are these weapons are being used all the time? Why do we have these weapons? But once again, like I said last night on Brothers B Show, America loves their guns more than their own children. And that is very sad.
Very
and aren't the AR-15s like the most easiest gun to get legally?
The kid got it
at
17 years old. He could buy that before he could buy a handgun.
Right, and he got it. He got it legally. He went to the shooting range, did everything that he was supposed to do. Why is this gun so easy to get legally? Whatever age that was, 17, 19, whatever age he was.
That's the scary. That's even scarier than the other things that have people asking questions. And I think if you're looking at right now, the supply of guns in this country is absolutely off the chain. And if you're comparing it to other nations, it's minuscule. Australia, I believe, has only had one mass shooting in the last 20 or 30 years. They had one that happened, I believe it was in the 80s, and they ended up banning assault weapons in the country, and they haven't had one since. So we know that the main issues are the gun lobby, who write checks to certain congressmen and into as donations to the super PACs that end up getting preferential treatment in certain areas to be able to continue to make money and continue to get preferential treatment towards other things. Now, to go to the other part of this whole instance, where we talk about the President of the United States, where the leadership is supposed to be and setting the pulse and setting the trend for getting things done. When the President finally went on and tweeted about this, you can only get Donald Trump to turn a school shooting and throw it back on himself to make himself as either the victim or just to make sure that it's all about him. And his tweet
mm-hmm.
was, quote, very sad that the FBI missed all of the many signals sent out by the Florida school shooter. This is not acceptable. They are spending too much time trying to prove Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. There is no collusion. Get back to the basics and make us all proud.
He
took this
he
as an opportunity
there?
To go ahead and say, I am not guilty of collusion. When this had nothing to do with that at all. You can compartmentalize
yeah,
Sean,
does
that.
Does he have a point there?
He doesn't.
Does he
I don't think
there?
He does, Hot Rod. Due to the fact that obviously the FBI can multitask. So give me a break. He's trying to use that to cover up his own situation to get our minds off of what they just found out a couple of days before the shooting had happened about collusion with Russians or Russia interfering with the election and so forth. He used that as a perfect opportunity to say that I'm sure the FBI is trained to multitask.
Go ahead,
Sean.
Go ahead, Sean. Okay. He used this opportunity to basically kick the FBI in the crotch based on the fact that it's something that happened a couple of days afterwards, was that the FBI had 39 tips. There was a tip out on the alleged shooter, who has now pretty much confessed to this all. The shooter had been called into the FBI as far as the tips that have gone 39 times, including a tip in January that the FBI never followed up on to the point where this could have probably been prevented. From that sense the FBI is at fault from that, because a lot of this could have been prevented. But getting back to Tisha's point, this is all smoke and mirrors from the presidency, who is seemingly morally bankrupt at all anyway, and is using that to govern. But when you're getting money, as far as a group, the government is getting from the gun lobby, you're going to get results like this where nothing happens and you're seeing thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people whose lives are at risk, in jeopardy, either through being killed, being injured, maimed, etc. And the only thing that the president and Republicans had said up until recently is it's all about mental health. It's all about mental health. And that is a good point, but that's not the only thing here.
This person had tweeted to me a couple of days ago and said this, quote, "Let me get this right. We can place armed security at banks, airports, concerts, sport events, some hospitals, jewelry stores, and TV studios. But it's a bad idea when we want them to protect our kids. Does that mean that we see more value in other things than we do our schools? Politicians are always yelling, we must do something. Well, the simplest answer is usually the best. For our schools, instead of trying to strip of our rights, but he's a major gun owner, how many targets have mass shooters hit that are armed resistance? None. There's your answer to save our kids. In other words, they need to put armed forces in our schools. Do you guys agree?
No. I wholeheartedly don't agree, because that's only going to make it worse. The answer to this is simple, but the simple answer is usually the one that gets ignored the most. First off, Congress, the House, have to do something to comprehensively make sure that guns in schools and guns in this nation have been decreased. You can ban AR-15 weaponry. You can do certain things as far as background checks, etc. That should have been done yesterday. That should have been done 10 years ago, 20 years ago. When you have neighborhoods where you can walk into probably any place, wherever, and just say, I want to get that, I want to get that, and you can walk home in 20 minutes with an automatic weapon, which you do not need in general. And for those that are saying, well, they're hunters and they like to go out, there's something off if you like to go out into the forest and kill a bunch of animals with an automatic rifle. I mean, that if that's your culture as far as what you do, if that's what makes you happy, I guess to each their own. But if that is the case, things have to be set in place to make sure we don't have another Dylann Roof or we have another one of these guys that just goes into a school and kills and slaughters innocent people just for the hell of it.
All right. Well, Tisha, let's talk about the mental health issue, because at my job I had two Caucasian employees talk about the situation, and already they told me, you know what, despite that what the killer did, you kind of feel bad for him because of his background, his story and everything. And I just looked at them, I kept my mouth shut, and did the Homer Simpson, high in the bushes type of story. Like, I don't want no part of this. You guys can understand why. Why? I'm not upset with my coworkers' statements, because, I'm being honest, they probably don't understand compared to us. Why do you think that most white people are ready to understand why he did it compared to us who've been struggling? Like I said earlier, we all have problems. But we don't go out shooting people. Why do you think people see it that way sometimes? Because, basically, do you see this as a mental health issue overall?
I see this as an issue overall. And as far as what you were just saying with the coworkers, well, you know how I already feel about that. It's because the young man was of a different nationality other than African American or whatever, okay? I feel like... and if I could say it, a lot of, let's say if it was a Muslim terrorist or an African-American terrorist or child, they would have maybe possibly got killed or said, oh, okay, they committed suicide or whatever the case may be, but this young man had time enough after this to go get something to eat after he finished shooting these kids. He kind of camouflaged himself on his way out. Good thing one of the officers realized who he was, but how do you have time to go and eat after you just shot up a school? I don't understand this, and you were able to just walk like it was nothing. I don't understand that.
Apparently, he did not give a damn. He was ready. He knew.
Yeah.
Like,
so I don't feel any remorse for him. I'm sorry. You knew what you were going to do. Pay the time for this crime that you committed because you knew what you were going to do. You knew what you wanted to do. Why isn't anybody asking him? Because they want to say, sure, he confessed to it, but why did you do it? I don't want to hear about depression. It's mental health. We all get depressed from time to time and can snap yourself up out of it. Give me a break with that. It's wrong that they're going to start classifying depression as mental health. So if I'm depressed, I'm mental to you. I should be going into the hospital and so forth. You're going to be treated unfair. You're going to really be treated like a person who really has a mental issue just because he's depressed. He knew what he was going to do. So for people to say, oh, I feel sorry for him, what I feel sorry for is that he's so young and probably doesn't even understand how to cope with his emotions that it led him to this, but yet he knew what he was going to do.
So for all the reasons that he killed those people, we may never know the story because, you know what, this is not the first time mass shooters go out and just kill people for no reason because they're very depressed or just losing their mind or whatever. And it's very sad overall. But go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I believe the FBI scoured his social media accounts after a while, and there were a lot of disturbing images, including him saying that he was going to grow up to be a professional school shooter, wearing one of those MAGA hats, with a Make America Great Again hat, with a bandana over his face and a bunch of guns. And he went and did a lot, put a lot of pictures of himself, saying he was going to do that one day. All of these violent imagery that was there. So this brings me to my question that I'm going to ask you, Hot Rod, and this is something that you brought up before that you said you don't really believe in. March 24th is supposed to be an organized march that's going to happen, I believe, in Washington, and it's going to be organized through other places, other people are going to be involved. I think it's called the March for Our Lives, and it's been organized by the students that were in Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And this is going to be a big rally, huge marches all over the nation and going to converge, I believe, in D.C. And I think they're going to try to go to the White House if they can and have their march there. Here's my question. Do you believe that this is actually going to be different from any of the other marches and protests that we've seen, because we've seen a lot of positive groundswell and anger, not just from victims, but from young teenagers, kids, there's activism involved. Do you think that this march is going to make any difference?
K-Dog and Max, I will get to you in a minute. And as to Sean, why do you ask me a question if you already know the answer to it? The answer is, of course, nothing's going to happen. Let them go out and protest. Let their voice be heard. You have your right. You know, make some noise. But in the end, as you just said, this is a money-making business. Guns get invested in trillions of dollars every year. Once again, like I said earlier, America loves its guns more than its kids. And nothing that happened in Sandy Hook. Yes, there might be some slight changes now. But in the end, we're going to be talking about mass shooting, guarantee you, before the year is over. So I'm sorry to say this, but I don't believe nothing's going to happen. That's why I told you last week I don't want to talk about it. Not like, you know, I have, you know, not like, I'm upset like everybody else as a parent. I'm scared that my kids, teacher kids, everybody's kids that's going to school now, you don't know, you might pick them up or they might end up in a body bag. This is a scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the way society is right now.
Yeah.
Like you say, Sean Black, Australia, you know, the last mass shooting was 20 years ago. Japan, everywhere around the world, have less mass shooters, except for America. So you know what? Like I told you this last, Sean Black, this is what America wants. This is what America deserves. Not the victims. You know, don't get my word twisted, everybody. But I'm upset, but I'm like, I'm done with it. That's what I don't want to talk about because it's over. Katrina is an ongoing process. I'm not saying I'm giving up. I'm just calling it as I see it. This is not the first time. It won't be the last time America loves its guns. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, I got to say, hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing?
Hold on.
Here we are. Here it is again. Another school shooting. Time and time again, this happens. You always hear about the shooter being depressed, the shooter being upset about something. Listen, personally, I feel no sympathy for the shooter because this was a premeditated murder. He planned all of this. I mean, this was a kid who's been kicked out of the school, and recently they showed video of him getting into fights. I mean, this kid was violent. And even the people that he stayed in the house with said that they had no idea that this was a monster that they had. He had access to an AR-15. An AR-15, a military-style weapon that was used in Sandy Hook, and now it's used in this school in Florida. My thought tonight with the families of those children who witnessed this horrible, who witnessed this horrifying incident, these kids are so traumatized. This is something that's going to stay in their minds forever, watching someone getting shot, watching someone die right in front of them. Could you imagine what those kids are feeling now? Could you imagine?
I can imagine, and something I don't want to imagine personally. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You sent me a Twitter, I guess it was from somebody's Twitter account that was retweeted, of one of the teenage students that was actually in the classroom as the shooting was going on. And I think it's probably 35, 40 seconds, or maybe a minute, I'm not sure. But it showed the chaos involved and them getting out, one of the teachers saying, run, run, run. And all you can see is dead bodies and blood everywhere while the person is running for the exit of the door. I don't know what other imagery you can see or use to bring it to some sort of mindset that this cannot be normalized.
No, it can't. And, Sean, there's something else, too, I wanted to add, too, about one of the victims that people are failing to talk about, and that is Anthony Borges, the 15-year-old. He was shot 5 times, and he was using his body as a human shield to protect his classmates. He's still in the hospital recovering. And let's not forget also the coach who attempted to protect his students from the shooter but ended up getting shot up in a worse way and unfortunately lost his life.
Yes.
Okay. I have to give it to Max now. Max?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, I kind of called the wrong time. I wish I did call into the sex episode, but it's a touchy subject because, you know, a few of my colleagues and college professors were talking about this particular subject, and the college professor also mentioned about that march that Stone just mentioned, and it's just trying to, like, gather around, and it's more of a try to, you know, feel better. It basically is trying to build up a spirit, kind of make them feel like you're not alone. We all share the same situation. But like Rodney said, ain't nothing going to be solved.
I think my problem is about this shooting and everything is the defensive of the white guy, you know, given mental illness. And like I told people, if they really want changes to be done, unfortunately, have every black man buy a gun, or every Muslim man buy a gun. Then you will see changes a couple of days later right away. You know, unfortunately, that type of dramatic change needs to happen, I think, for gun changes. Because,
they'll go knock your door and they go after the black people quick, fast.
Listen, mind if I add something else to Max? Listen.
Go ahead.
Everybody knows what kind of a country you live in. If you give a gun, if let's just say a black person, someone who is of Middle Eastern descent, you give them a gun, guess what's going to happen? They're going to go from door to door. The FBI is going to be investigating. They're going to do an extensive background check and find out, oh, such and such had a criminal record. So-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. Oh, their terrorism and all of that. I mean, one could only imagine.
Tisha?
I just want to go back to what y'all saying about the protests. I don't think anything is going to happen, but I do feel like it's bringing them closer together, the victims of this. It's bringing them closer together. Had Trump said, yes, I'll go to their town hall on Wednesday, see what these students are talking about, teachers are talking about, and so forth, and then maybe reschedule his town hall because he scheduled this after they invited him,
yeah.
I would have said, yes, maybe something may be done. He's not even open-minded to that. Let's go to their town hall, see what they're talking about, so you can bring back some sort of information to your town hall. He could have rescheduled. He's the president, but I don't see him as wanting to do that. Instead of using it as a distraction to say mental issues, and that's what we're going to tackle, let's tackle the gun law. Let's update that.
And the sad thing is he's not going to do it because you know why? The NRA has these politicians in their back pocket. They're saying, mm-hmm. Oh, if you protest against us, we're not going to support your campaign. You protest against us, you're not going to get any votes. That's the problem that's going on here.
Exactly. And the worst part about it is, in Florida, the state that the shooting actually happened, there are 14 lawmakers that actually have gotten money donated to them through the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Marco Rubio. The same
yeah.
one that tried to run for president that ended up having the spat with Donald Trump going forward as he was trying to win the Republican nomination. So for all of the talking heads that usually say they want this, they want that, the first thing that comes out is we're going to pray, we're going to think and have our condolences, and we're going to pray. Praying and condolences don't do anything. Laws.
Nope.
Checks and balances, legislation, that gets things done. And I think that is where those kids, the adults that are in that area, the teachers, et cetera, amongst all of the mass shootings that we've heard, all of the over 1,000 people that have been killed, including 176 children, in the span of when the quote-unquote first mass shooting happened, these are the kinds of things that people don't want to hear. They want to hear something is going to be done, and that is what they want to have happen. That's
Excuse me, Max. With your profession, do you feel there should be armed forces in schools today?
There's reasons why you can't scare individual students. These students will get scared easily if they see firearms. So what we do, what has been done is the guns are secured in the department, in the closets, secured areas, so they won't have henchmen. If you have guns physically dead, you got to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear.
Hello? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Hello?
So,
yeah, Max, you're breaking up, though.
I ain't
breaking up.
Oh, I am? I'm sorry. Yeah, you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm saying to diffuse any problem, they don't want to scare individuals like young minors or even professors. Professors, of course, they are so against police and guns. So you got to put it aside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you're looking at it, it's like I remember the argument that was made shortly after 9/11 to have armored marshals on every flight just in case they needed to kill a terrorist on a plane, or an unruly passenger was going to do something that they would have. And I'm sure that they do have plainclothes marshals or whatever security protocol that they have on planes or on vehicles, et cetera, et cetera.
But it's based on the environment, right, sir? It's based on the environment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, just like in the jail, when you're in the prison facilities, you can't carry firearms around like that.
Yes. But to actually have teachers, I mean, the fact that this has even been considered is in and of itself insane. To arm teachers, or the potential to do that, to arm a teacher with a handgun, knowing that teachers have enough problems as is trying to just teach unruly kids anyway.
Right.
So add a firearm to it. Usually if you have a firearm, you're usually, I forgot what it is, like 400 or 500% of a chance of being shot yourself. So why would you introduce that into a school, a class of 30 children, 40 children, irregardless of what the issue is?
You know what that will cause, Sean? Believe you me, it will cause a problem because let's just say you arm a teacher, and unfortunately some people are very hot-headed. When they have that gun in their hand, it is a symbol of power. Unfortunately, there will come a case where someone will end up using that strength, you know what I mean, by the gun, and use it on an innocent individual. And that's a bloodshed that you really don't want to happen.
Yeah, I'll put it like this: if you arm a teacher, prepare to call a morgue because something is going to go wrong. Period. That's why it should never happen.
Yeah, you can't arm a teacher
because
most of those teachers they got mental issues too, Sean. I'm gonna be honest with you. They are intelligent, but when it comes to logic, they're not there, bro. They're not there.
Well,
yo,
talk about logic. Has there been any mass shooting that you heard of in a quote in the ghetto schools or in the hood that you aware of? Have anyone ever heard any news
of
that?
No, not really, because we've heard of fights.
Well, if I say something right now,
I'm gonna say something right now.
We just said what you just said right now. I'm gonna say this because I learned this from the instructor. The reason what you just said right now, most of the urban people, I'm going to say urban, it could go by any kind of race.
Thank you.
But you live in an urban environment, you're limited in that position. You don't feel free or entitled to carry. But when they're in that position where, like Florida, the majority of those gentlemen, I'm going to say Caucasian, they feel that they are entitled. It's their right to carry based on their family members, based on their inner circle. So it's passed down to generations and to parties. All of them feel like, yeah, you have the right to have a bear arms. All of them feel they're entitled to it. In the urban society, no, you're not supposed to. You know there's going to be consequences.
You'll get caught.
I look at the results of that. Go figure. Now, can someone explain that to me? You know, overall, how the urban area, we don't have no mass shooting. Well, we all know Florida's a mess up state from the beginning. We all know that part.
It's Republican power all the way.
Look, if anything, let me just say this. In Florida, let's look at this shooter. He's 18 years old. And how the hell is it that he is able to put his hands on an AR-15? And, you know, the laws over there are so lax when it comes to guns that this kid could keep his gun in a closet. The parents say he would open he had the key to open the door to clean the closet. And something else, too, not to change the subject, is that I just got one question to ask. Where was security when he entered the school, knowing that he got kicked out the school for committing a violent act? Answer that question.
Or maybe they didn't know he got kicked out of the school. Maybe the principal might have known, or a teacher may have recognized him or not recognized him. That's another thing you have to think about.
Or maybe they didn't look at it as a threat. Because sometimes
because
you take somebody out of a school doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically thinking, well, this guy's going to come back and go postal.
Exactly.
Right. I don't think that's
the
mindset.
He could have came to visit a teacher and say hi. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So we don't know. And the way he was dressed, he wasn't dressed in, like, let's say, all black with his war on, attire on. He was dressed like a normal student. Polo shirt, looked like he was wearing his slacks. So,
Do you have a history of being a threat at the school?
No. No.
And that's the
See,
thing.
That's what, he, so that, that's the thing.
That's
They're not
the
supposed to
that's
part
why.
Of it. I'll give you an example. The high school that I went to when I was
another long story.
No, it's not a long story, but here it is. At my sophomore year in high school, there was a school shooting. Somebody came in through one of the entrances and had a gun. I don't know if it was some sort of retribution for something or whatever it was. It was a shooting, and it was on the news, and it changed a lot of things from this sense that by the next year, they ended up putting in metal detectors. They put an ID card where they have your identification, and you had to put it into a machine that would see who you are, where you come from, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to put that in twice, once when you go in and once when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're still doing that now because I haven't been in a high school environment in the New York City area in God knows how long. But these kinds of things are the unfortunate byproduct of what happens when you have shootings in schools. And the sad part about it is the thought process is always, I'm taking my child to school to learn. I shouldn't have to worry about warfare. Is my child going to come back home? Now, Hot Rod, you got two kids. Obviously, they're not of school age from the sense of going to public school yet. But the day that comes,
you never know. It could be a crazy parent out there who get upset with the teacher, decide to go up and blow everybody up.
That is true. But here's my question to you: if you have your two kids go to public school or whatever is the case when they're 10, 11, et cetera, how do you protect your kids when you really do not know if this is the day that something stupid is going to happen, or if this is going to be another Columbine, or if this is going to be another Parkland, Florida?
Well, first of all, I talk to the baby mother all the time. Like, you know, we've got to train our kids, tell them the truth, what's going on. Like, I told my son, when someone hit you, you hit back, right? You know, you tell the teacher that the teacher's not going to do anything, you hit back. It may sound wrong, but it's part of that training exercise. If something happened in class, you go hide. There's training exercises right now where you're trying to lock the door, put desks behind the door, and you just pray that something works out. And also, at the same time, hiding doesn't work anymore. Sometimes, some situations, you have to fight back. You have no choice. So fighting back, I believe now, in this crazy world today, is probably one of the best options to do. Is either you or me. So I would tell my kids, you got to fight back. You being bullied in school, fight back. You see a shooter, try to cover it high. If you see it coming through the door, grab the first thing you could get, a scissors, a stapler, or a razor board or something, and fight back for your life. But once again, it's either you or him. It's better to cause a dent, and, you know, it's better to cause a little damage than end up being a dead body, you know, overall. Always tell the kids the truth of what's going on. That's my intake on that. But
well, my daughter had a training done in her high school already. She already had a mercy training. They had the school teachers do the physical work while she just throwing erasers and notebook at the shooting victim. But the school teacher would be the one hiding behind the door waiting to jump in and attack.
That is insane.
Yeah, because there's some schools that have had that drill. There's been school in other states. As a matter of fact, I was watching in the news the other day, one of the students who survived the Columbine shooting, she's now a teacher. She says in her school, they have a drill that teaches the children what to do when there's a shooting. They give the children like tennis balls to throw at the shooter if the shooter comes inside the classroom, or how to protect themselves. all of that's being done. And it's the best way to keep the kids safe.
Yeah.
We want the kids
lights
to be prepared.
Closed. Yeah, lights are closed. There's children hide on the tables, and they'll grab any item, book bags and notebooks, to throw at the shooter. And the school teacher will be placed behind the door to jump and risk, and will be willing to be the shield. They make sure they select the school teacher that's willing to put their lives out for the kids. They do that. If Sean was administrator of the school, he's going to interview Rodney and myself to say who's more suited in protecting the kids.
Exactly.
Oh, Tisha, anything like to add before I go to the last topic?
No.
Okay. All right. My last topic of the night, I want to talk about Black Panther and piss everybody off, you know, because
my goodness.
Black Panther, K-Dog saw it just not too long ago. It was number one in the box office, made over $200 million. Congratulations. As you guys know, I know some of the staff, some of the cast, and I'm good friends with one of them, and I'm happy for the movie. But I don't believe in the hype of the movie. Will I go see the movie? Of course. Like I told one of the cast members, I will go see the movie once it comes out on cable, and he cursed me out, of course. But besides that, I'm happy to see the black people go dress up in African outfits and go see the movie and all that, you know, festivities, and go support the movie. But once again, I think overall black people do not have their priorities right. I'm happy Matt's calling right now for this because you know who I'm talking about overall. Why do you think people will run and go see a movie like The Black Panther or other movies or other black movies or for entertainment and they feel empowerment, but they don't do anything about it? Like, here they are at the point that they're showing their black pride right now over a movie, but after the movie's over, when it died down, it's back to normal. I'm like, I'm not talking bad about the movie. I told people go see the movie, but why are you showing your African pride right now or your heritage right now? Like, oh, I'm African all of a sudden. Max?
Well, listen, you know, I've invested a lot in black movies and black businesses. I have invested. I'm proud of it, and I keep my receipts as proof. So anybody try to fight me, I'll show my proof. I went to go see Birth of a Nation 5 times because that was a pure black empowerment movie. Black owner,
thank you.
Black director,
thank you.
Listen, I praise what Rodney's saying. You're right, Rodney. I don't want to discourage anybody that's going to go and dress, but I'm going to throw my opinion to say we didn't achieve anything. We're not finished. It hasn't solved our problem.
And I don't think people understand, before I go to the last call, I don't think people understand, yes, it's all black cast or all black director, but in the end, who made the money from this in the end? Who made all their money back from this? And is any of that money going back to the communities of urban areas? No, so when people line up for lines and everything, go see Black Panther, and like I told Sean and K-Dog yesterday, where were you when it's time to vote for number 45? So you complain about Trump, but you wasn't there at the election booths, right? But here you are. Not, go ahead.
All I got to say is this. Yes, the movie was a very good movie, but there's also something else, too, that people need to understand. As I saw the movie, I'm not going to tell you what it's all about, what happened in the movie, but there's a lot of messages being said in the movie that you need to see. For people who don't know the movie, and Hot Rod, I don't mean no disrespect to you, see the movie and you judge for yourself. For me, I seen it and I could say it was good. It was damn good.
Okay, but
it was worth
seeing. Though, so before I go to Brother B, I understand what he's saying. I know Black Panther. I know the history of Black Panther. So I collect comic books. I'm talking about the people that don't know the history of Black Panther. So get them messages about it. But guess what? How many people are going to act on those messages? That's what I'm talking about. How many people like Max?
No, because
go,
you know what happened?
Hold on.
I said,
Kato, I'm not done yet. Kato, can we speak? Let me speak for once, please.
All right, go ahead, bro.
How many people going to go back and support the stores in their own neighborhood instead of running down to Target and everything? So don't come up to me, powerful messages. In the end, we're going back and talk back about our neighbors. Instead of going by Michael Jordan, remember Stephon Marbury when he came out with his own sneakers for the kids? Nobody didn't want to buy those sneakers because why? Because they were $5. Even though
they were
made in the same
factory. I remember those sneakers.
They were $15,
but they were made in the same factory as Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan selling those for $150. Get the hell out of here with that. That's not. That's
how about
not
the Ben Wallace sneakers? How about the Ben Wallace sneakers instead?
Thank
that was
you.
The same thing.
All right, brother
Ben
B.
Wallace did the same thing, my brother.
Yeah, brother B.
See, all right, brother B. Go ahead. We got 5 minutes.
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Hey, what's
Hi.
Up, brother?
I guess y'all talking about what the Black Panther situation?
Yeah, Black Panther, yes.
Sorry, yeah, I just got off the train. Marvel made money. White man always going to make money off of black people's stories, whether it's a black person being whipped or a black person doing some whipping. They always going to make money off our story because their story is boring and they really don't have too much of a story. No disrespect to any of the Caucasian people, but y'all know the history. What it is.
Right.
I accept it. You accept it. That's just that. When it comes down to black-owned business and stuff like that, listen, if it took a movie for us to unify and nothing else that's going on in our community is to unify, then something's wrong, and we really need to check ourselves because it shouldn't take a movie for people to start dressing up like looking like coming to America. We should take pride in ourselves regardless of the fact of a movie or a song or whatever, but apparently we have our priorities twisted. Just because it's black-owned, is it black-owned because you're black-owned and you're trying to support your people, yourself, and your community, or you're just saying black-owned because it sounds good?
And it wasn't a surprise exactly. that they released Black Panther during Black History Month. Just that was definitely not a coincidence. And when we pick, when we think about Black Panther in general, the movie probably should have been released 20 or so years ago, because from what I remember, Wesley Snipes actually tried to start a Black Panther movie way back in the 90s,
and
it fell apart. It fell apart basically because the film studios didn't want to give him the financing that he wanted for the movie that he saw. So Marvel eventually, years later, went a different route, and they ended up doing Blade. And since he is a martial artist himself, he ended up doing Blade that was backed by, I think, New Line Studios. Black Panther
yeah,
was around for a while.
So once again, you guys are cool about pointing how I support Black Panther. You know, once again, I'm friends with one of the cast, and I told him, you know, great job. I'm proud of him. And he was I told him, like, you know, as a black guy, I'm so proud of you that, you know, you're moving up. You know, I knew you as a kid. And look at you now, so in a great motion picture. But once again, we take us as black people, we take our priorities the wrong way. And like Max said, Birth of the Nation, they did not make not even $50 million. And that was a better empowerment movement. So those are based on reality.
But unfortunately, there was a lot of controversy. There was a lot of controversy with the film director, with Nate Parker. And that's what really messed up a lot of things.
But did you notice the timing of it? The time of the controversy because they wanted to discredit him. But
exactly.
You know, didn't the senator just resign because a cop pulled him over because he had a 17-year-old and but you don't hear about that. But you hear about Nate Parker doing something like 20 years ago.
They made him look horrible. They did everything to discredit him.
And that was the idea.
But remember Curry, Nate Parker, he had a chance to work with Byron Island, but he chose 20th Century Fox. Instead, they would have a bigger pay, but they wasn't going to protect him. Brown Island would have protected him if he did took that route.
Yep.
I wouldn't doubt.
Okay. Well, but still, people go support Black. Go see the movie Black Panther. If you feel empowerment to watch it, go see it. Of course, I'm just saying, you know, let's get our priorities together. You know, let's support our own people first. You know,
and
let's
stop bringing each other down. Stop bringing each other down. That's my message.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
I didn't bring nobody down. That's worth it for sure. But you got to wake up. You got to wake up.
I'm like, we don't bring each other down, but overall, but, you know, Kato is right. A lot of people do that, you know, with each other. We bring each other
when
down.
When
like,
we see each other going up, we try to bring them down.
I don't hear anybody attacking Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro totally stepped out of line with, why did he even choose to bring up the fact that, oh, why are black people making such a big deal about Black Panther? Like,
nobody's knocking Ben Shapiro, but then after, y'all knocking, you know, y'all can't be knocking each other down. This is wrong. We're supposed to be a united front, but yet we sitting there knocking each other down. As soon as one of us goes up, we bring him right down. And that's the problem. That's how come we don't have a united front.
Yeah, okay. but that goes back to the slave house. The field and the slave house. But that's another
nobody was in power doing that when Birth of the Nation came out. That was the problem. But Birth of the Nation came out, that was
guys, we got to go.
Yeah.
Time is up.
We got to go.
Good night,
everybody.
Take care.
Good night, y'all.
The pleasure was all yours, everybody.
The pleasure was all yours.
Good night.
I took it.
Good night.
Thank you all.
All right.